The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I am Kuʻule Ogbayani. Hello. Welcome to April. I know it's the second day of April, but I guess it's a non-April Fool's Day. So hopefully nobody got faked out entirely yesterday. I saw a funny post on the internet and was like, hey, welcome to the day that everyone will think twice and research about everything they see posted. I'm like, how about we do that every day? Like, ooh, that's a clever one. I'm like, good job. That's a smart one to, but shout out has to go to, I forgot what the handle is, but some hockey handle that posted that the University of Hawaii is getting a hockey team. And I'm like, all right, that's my favorite. That is my favorite April Fool's joke. And it was retweeted by UH Athletics AD Craig Angeles. And I was like, this is a good one. And he retweeted it with like a sick jersey too. Like it was the coolest looking hockey UH rainbow themed jersey. And that by far was like the best April Fool's. And it was joking enough that like you could tell it was an April Fool's joke right off the bat, because that would never happen. I like how our Alan Mia made his usual angry tweet though and was like, If we actually had a hockey team before a men's soccer team, I would lose it. Or he said something like that.
Yeah, he said some Allen thing.
Yeah. And I was like, I guess so. But nonetheless, it was a really cool tweet. That was my favorite April Fool's / non-April Fool's thing from yesterday, as cue the Alan Mia text that just came in.
Oh, I love Alan so much.
I know that was his favorite ever. See, I know we talked about yesterday that we don't play April Fool's jokes, but that I should have played one on him. I totally felt at that. Yeah, that would have been
say,
funny.
Missed opportunity.
Dang it. Gotta wait till next year. Oh, well.
Say love you.
All right. Well, outside of the April Fool's fun and jokes, how about those games yesterday? Those were a lot of fun in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament. The first game up, the rematch of last year's championship game between Iowa and LSU. I mean, came down, maybe not necessarily to the wire, but it was just a battle throughout the entire game. And it was so much fun to watch. Like, I was just glued to my seat, and I know Paul over here, he was doing his job duties and trying to like keep us all up to date with basketball, and we were going back and forth in our texts, and I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm like totally not even paying attention to men's basketball recruiting because I'm like so focused on this game because it was insane. Iowa coming up on top over LSU 94-87. Caitlin Clark stays in the tournament, and my goodness, it was, I texted you guys about this yesterday, though. She was hitting bombs, like, yes, from all over the place. Haley Van Lith had, like, the defensive assignment for majority of the game. They switched off a little bit, and she wasn't playing bad defense. They just knew how to get Caitlin even open for the split second that she needed, even barely even open. And she's just chucking up the shots. Some were banks, obviously, because where she was shooting from. But poor Haley, because she wasn't playing bad defense. She was playing as tight as she could without actually fouling Caitlin. And Caitlin was just throwing it up. And there's a funny like little meme where Haley's looking at the camera kind of with that like, I don't know, shrug right after Caitlin hits another bomb. Because it's like, what am I supposed to do? I can't control. Like, it's when you guard Steph Curry. Like, what are you going to do?
So that was the exact feeling where HVL, feel bad for her. She was sick. She had an IV in before the game. And then Kim Mulkey goes, hey, guard the most generational player that you've probably ever seen. That when we use the word generational, yesterday's performance by Caitlin Clark was generational. And I mean that for a few different reasons. One, 41 points against the team and LSU, whose lineup is filthy, just filthy. Haley Van Lith is a former All-American. She's their fifth option this year. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And in general, that LSU team, they're defending national champions for a reason. That said, I mean, Caitlyn was pulling from, Ryan Rucco had a call that was one near and dear to my heart, but he's like, he's Clark from Schenectady, which any good broadcaster should know your geography around wherever you are broadcasting, and Schenectady close-ish by from Albany. But, you know, it's one of those calls, and it felt like that. She was just pulling up from 4 feet behind the arc, 5 feet behind the arc, and not the 9-inch.
I was
going to
say the real one. The arcs were fixed.
Imagine
for this
how
game.
Long they would have looked if they were in Portland. But in general, that is what I mean when I say generational. 41 points against high quality defense. The play that you're referring to, where Haley Van Lith kind of shrugs her shoulders, it's like, what the heck am I supposed to do? I watched it back last night where she's face guarding Caitlyn to start the possession. Caitlyn runs off a double screen to get a handoff at the like half court to get the ball, takes a couple of dribbles, steps it back, and then hits it with a hand in her face. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, what are you supposed to do? Somebody tweeted it out. I wish I remembered their handle as well so I could give them credit, but I'll take it instead. They said how... I get the same feeling watching Caitlin Clark today that I did back in 2016 when Steph Curry made himself like Steph Curry. Because he was Steph before then. But that 2016 finals, that 2016 year, it was different. This Caitlin Clark is different. And yesterday showed that. And now it's 1-1 between LSU and Iowa. What's sad is we'll never get round three between them in college.
Yeah, we could potentially see, well, Flauje is still here and Angel Reese still has to decide. Won't see Caitlin Clark, however. She has already decided that she's going to the WNBA or the Big Three or both. So we won't see Caitlin Clark. Okay, so here's the picture or the meme that was tweeted with the photo of Haley and like doing the shrug with Caitlin. I will now be using this to let you know I tried my best and I ain't got it, boss.
It's just straight up. Trying my best, and my best isn't good
enough.
And
she really
did
make up for it because there were some questionable passing decisions from Caitlin. She had 5 turnovers for the game, the most by any player on both teams. So fortunately, her shots were falling because you just erase all of the turnovers because she clearly made up for it. But there were some passes where I'm like, what are you doing? Like, that's okay. Like, basically dumping it in the middle, and then Angel Reese is like right there to take it away, and she just took it from end line to end line and like scored an easy 2 points, but made up for it. But speaking of the passing, I mean, she, like, not only Caitlin, but this Iowa team, I mean, their passes were crisp. They're quick bounce passes, like passes that you really are like another level of IQ when it comes to basketball. Like, that's what I was very surprised and pleased with the way that they moved the ball. And again, utilizing a lot of bounce passes. I feel like we don't see a lot of bounce passes at any level because they are so hard to do. I don't think people understand how hard it is to do a nice, crisp, like, bounce pass through traffic exactly on target where your teammate just picks it up, doesn't even need to take a dribble, and lays it up. And again, this isn't against an LSU team that doesn't play good defense. They are solid. They have length. You have Angel Reese defending the paint. Like, they are a difficult team to play against. I mean, the score was tied for a reason at halftime. You know, like, it was a crazy game, but the way that Iowa moved the ball, and we talk a lot about Caitlin Clark, but what about the other Kate and Kate Martin? She was solid for Iowa. And I was just like, that's the thing that I was also impressed by this team, because I'm going to be honest, like, this is probably the first Iowa game and LSU game I've watched beginning to end. The entire time, did not take a step away except for during halftime. So I was like really glued and watching everything. And I was just like, man, this is such fun. And the pace half the time, I'm like, whoa. Even the announcers kept saying it like, all right, you got to slow the ball down because this pace is just,
they were just going
insane. And going back to Caitlin real quick though, with the announcer, I like how it was just funny where he's like, hey, there's Caitlin. And it's not good. Because it's like he's just ready to be like, ah, that's good. But you have to when it doesn't go in, you have to just kind of take a step back and, okay, that wasn't good. And Iowa just all around. And then you look at LSU, Flau J. Johnson. I mean, she actually led the Tigers with 23 points. Oh my gosh. I'm happy she's coming back next year because she, that game yesterday, she took a huge, I mean, she was already good last year, but she was on a different level. I don't know if it was this entire season, but this game for sure, she looked way better even than how she played in last year's national championship game. Mm-hmm. Like her ball handling, her just like spin move up for the basket. And she's not tall by any means.
It's clear she's been in the lab in the offseason. That's the thing.
So fun.
She is a very, very good player. There are a lot of really good players on that LSU squad. And I could sit here and just name off your entire starting lineup.
Pretty
much. And then it's like, whatever. But yesterday, Kim Mulkey even, she said it in a post-game interview, you can't give up 21 points and 16 points to other players in that Iowa starting lineup. Mm-hmm. When Caitlin's going for 40. Like, you can't do that, and it's a testament to Caitlin's teammates for stepping up, hitting some really big shots. You mentioned Kate Martin with 21 there, and really down the stretch when Iowa needed somebody else to score a bucket, Kate Martin was there a lot of times. It was a really nice performance start to finish for Iowa. They started out outstanding, taking advantage of some, I know you said LSU's defense is good. It is good. The starting plan for Mulkey and crew, I was a little confused on drop coverage on pick and rolls going under the screen, where the big drop coverage, for people who don't know, is when the big kind of drops down into the paint. It gives some room. They were also going under the screen on Caitlin a lot of times and giving space. With that space, not only can Caitlin hit the bombs we're talking about, she hit a record 9 threes yesterday, and she's also a phenomenal passer, and that was something she was showing off early on that you kind of mentioned as well, with the bounce passes, with the through the air. Her vision was excellent, as with all the other Hawkeyes, and just in general, they took advantage of what looked like an LSU team that wasn't ready right off the rip.
Mm-hmm.
Quick adjustment by them. Angel Reese had like an 8-0 run by herself. She had 17 and 20 yesterday. She's just a great player, like in general. And I was talking with Morgan about this, and Morgan was kind of talking about how if she liked Kim Mulkey even a slightest bit, she would have been rooting for LSU yesterday, just because she really loves the players on that Lady Tigers team, because they have emotion. They wear their heart on their sleeve, and that's what Angel Reese does, especially, where you aren't guessing how she's feeling. She's playing hard. She's playing passionate. She's letting you know about it. And that's something that's cool to see in women's athletics, that it was not really accepted before. It's still not really accepted now, but it's something that she and a group of others, but she has really pushed forward that, hey, women talk some trash too.
It was fun to watch. I loved every bit of it. We didn't get a situation where it felt like anything was going to turn into the LSU South Carolina situation that we had. I know some people were probably maybe anticipating it, considering this was, again, the rematch and all the smack talking with that went into last year's national championship game. But it was a fun game. And for the most part, that last, you know, that fifth personal foul on Angel Reese to me was a little questionable, especially the timing of the game. But for the most part, I felt like the refs let the players play majority of the game. Like they did not, I never got the instance where they started making it about themselves. And that at the end of the day, when it comes to officiating, that's what you want. Like I thought it was fair. Like I really never felt like, oh my gosh, it's one-sided, or what is that ref doing? They don't know what they're doing. For the most part, like I said, that fifth foul on Angel, I'm like, could have let it go. I don't think, I forget who drew it, but they didn't establish their position. But you know what? I'm like,
so
okay.
I didn't have an issue with the charge call. One, charge blocking fouls are always going to be bang-bang, especially in college where you don't have the challenge, you can't go back, and the only way that you overturn it a lot of times is if you're in the circle or the semicircle, the half arc inside the paint. The reason I didn't have an issue with it, one, Angel Reese did lower her shoulder. Once you lower your shoulder, it kind of takes out the beating somebody to the spot. I think it was Kate Martin. I don't know that for a fact. I'll be honest, all of the white girls look the same for Iowa, except for Caitlin.
Except Caitlin.
either way, it was a bang bang play, and Angel, to her, I don't want to say to the fault of Angel, I suppose, is her physicality and the level of which she plays a lot of times. I kind of compare her to Julius Randle in terms of just a battering ram who doesn't have an issue kind of going into the body of others. Like, she absorbs contact. Angel Reese gets hacked all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So she also has to be the aggressor going in sometimes. And right there, I also agree with you. That time in the game, I understand if you just kind of let it go.
It was like 2 minutes left or something, maybe three. It was.
It's tough, but also I understand, because I would be upset as a fan if you officiate players differently, if that makes sense. If you're giving star call, like, I understand stars deserve star calls, but also you have to call the game what you see as fair. And if that was what they felt was fair and a charging violation, which I can see why they did, I'm fine with that.
And like I said, it felt fair. Yeah. Both games.
It just sucked because it was the time of the game and it was so close. LSU, one last ditch effort to try and come back there. You want to see the players decide it. But at the end of the day, I mean, the players also decide when they foul. So whatever.
Yeah. It's not like you only get one foul in the entire game. Yeah. So, but it was an entertaining game to watch. Man, we just only talked about one game so far, because the second game, just as entertaining, between UConn and USC. We'll be back to talk about it next on Wake Up in the Den.
Please don't stop the music.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Please don't stop the music. That is beautiful and entertaining basketball. My goodness. I really hope you guys got to see that game. We were just talking about the Iowa-LSU game. Iowa over LSU 94-87. And they will have a match with UConn, who defeated the USC Trojans and the freshman phenom in Juju Watkins 80-73. Another close game, which was the second game of yesterday. I was running around in the afternoon. I did not get to watch as much of the game as I would have liked. However, the parts that I did see, Paige Beckers. I mean, welcome back, Paige Beckers. If there was, like, I am so happy that basketball had got to see her, and this year, because she was out because of injury. And this is the Paige that had, what, she at one point signed like the biggest like NIL deal, and she was signing all these massive deals and whatnot, and scoring 28 points for the Huskies yesterday. But she is just a baller. Like, she has such high basketball IQ, and then so confident. And then on the other side of the court, in Juju Watkins, I talked about her a lot yesterday, and why I enjoy watching her is because she has just like that pure basketball movement, and she just has this free-flowingness, is that a word, free-flowingness, about her when she plays the game, scoring 29 points for the Trojans. Not enough, though, of course, falling against 80-73, but it was just, I mean, they built it up, or we built it up to lead up to yesterday, having some of these star players, and one, at least one on each team of the teams that played yesterday. But, man, welcome back, and I do, as much as I joked with you guys yesterday how I love to cheer for Juju Watkins and USC, and then, you know, I was like, oh, this is like the coup versus Paul Bowl, because Paul's cheering for Paige Beckers and UConn. I still just as much love Paige Beckers. Yeah. She's so, and I love it because she missed out. We missed the opportunity to watch a player like her last year, and now she comes back. I'm rooting every game that she stays healthy all the way until the end, because if you guys watched it, you got to see, if you forget or never watched women's basketball until this year, she has been around. I saw there was a tweet that resurfaced from like 10 years ago about someone that had watched her when she was in sixth grade and said, yep, this is like the best guard I've seen, like, remember her name type of thing.
Best since Diana Taurasi.
And here she is, and she was phenomenal in this game, both teams. And you said it best, Paul, where it's like, you know what? Hey, Juju's only a freshman. This is potentially better for her, is to feel this loss and knowing how close they were, knowing how much this team wanted it, but knowing that she still has a few more years to go and will be hungrier next year. And at the end, you know, when she's obviously crying, and then you see there's a video or a camera shot of Paige going up to her, hugging her, I'm assuming telling her, like, hey, you're a phenomenal player. I'll see you next year, because Paige is also coming back next year. So it was a good game all around, and just two ballers going at it. And it was so, like, both, I'm like, it was so beautiful to watch.
We were treated to probably the best day of women's basketball we've had in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put a date on the last time we had a day that good, but you're right. It was two back-to-back phenomenal games. It felt gluttonous to be able to take in UConn versus USC after that Iowa-LSU game. It was like when you try and have a couple of pieces of pie after Thanksgiving dinner, and you're like, I know I really shouldn't, but I really would enjoy it. And man, did we enjoy it. Because Juju Watkins, you're right. I mean, she's the future of the sport, just the same way as Paige is, just the same way as Caitlin is, same way as Angel is, and all these phenomenal players, Flage and all these players we've seen make these runs throughout March. I mean, she's outstanding. Damian Lillard kind of put it best, I thought, where he tweeted out that Juju is essentially to USC what Carmelo was to Syracuse. And I saw that because Juju's just this pure scorer, man. The skill set that she has as a freshman, as an 18-year-old young woman, I mean, it's phenomenal. Her bag's deeper than most players, I mean, male or female.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just what a player. And then on the other end, you see why Paige Beckers was the number one overall recruit in the class of 2020. Like, it's... That class had Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith, and Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
And guess what? Paige is number one for a reason in that group. She went to UConn for a reason. She is all around, in my opinion, the best player in college basketball. Because Caitlin is generational.
Mm-hmm.
Paige is also generational. They're two different players.
Mm-hmm.
Because Caitlin is such a scorer. I mean, what a scorer she is. Steph Curry-esque,
mm-hmm.
right? But that doesn't mean Paige Beckers isn't an all-time great at the same time as well. It's such a cool thing to see where, oh my goodness, bucket after bucket after bucket, where Paige gets efficient hoops. And I want to give a shout-out to Gino Auriemma, because I think this might be his best coaching job he's ever done. And that's something to say, because this is a guy.
What is it, like an 8, 9, 10-year run? It felt like that they were winning national championships.
Yeah, he he has a gross amount of national championships. He's coached all of the best players in the world. Brianna Stewart, Maya Moore.
Mm-hmm.
The entire list of UConn women's basketball players who came through and were great is too long for me to sit here and talk about.
And you don't want to forget anyone.
Well,
so
and
it's
that's
like,
part
we'll just
of
stop,
it as well.
Stop right there.
But you sit here and it's like UConn, nearly their entire starting five. They are essentially what Hawaii women's basketball, the Rainbow Wahine, were last year. They've lost five players to season-ending injuries. They have essentially no bench. They played six players yesterday. And they're going to the Final Four. This is, I believe, Gino's 15th Final Four in the last like 16 years.
Sounds about right.
It's
insane.
The team could have crumbled. They started 4-3, have all these injuries, and women's college basketball is not any pushover anymore. It's not just the favorites making it all the way through. We have 2-3 seeds in the Final Four. Guess what? It's still UConn. It's still Gino. It's still the Huskies running their sets perfectly through the end of game execution. They are phenomenal. This has been an outstanding coaching experience for Gino. This has been a great year to watch the UConn women play through adversity. And now we have, I mean, the creme de la creme of Final Four matchups at the guard spot, where you literally get Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark for a spot in the national championship.
And like you said, two different styles of players. And shout out to Coach Gino for probably making the best non-recruiting decision, because it came out, I guess, that Caitlin actually, her dream school was to go to UConn, but Gino never came to any of her workouts or recruited her to UConn. And, you know, fast forward to how many years later, and I think it just worked out for the sport. It worked out, obviously, for Iowa just fine.
Worked out for everyone, for sure.
And I think it brought this more, like, spread of talent, right? Because if you had Caitlin and Paige on the same team, then
UConn would have rolled to a 36-0.
Paige is able to, I feel like, live up to her potential this year, because she's not having to kind of share the time with Caitlin, and vice versa. Caitlin can have all of it for herself in Iowa. So I think Gino probably, like, unintentionally made the best recruiting decision he could ever do for each player, for the fans, for his own team. And as you mentioned, now he stands out as even a better coach now that we already thought he was. But just to see how the future unfolded now, yes, they're going to play against each other, but
second matchup all time, because they did also match up back in that, like, COVID era ish as freshmen. Not as fun.
Yeah, definitely not as fun as this year's going to be.
Now we have a couple of pros going at it. Like, these are pro players going at it, and that's cool when they're at the college level.
Yeah, so it will be UConn, Iowa, UConn the 3 seed, Iowa the 1 seed, and in the other Final Four matchup, the number 1 seed overall, South Carolina, versus number 3 seed. And what feels more of, if there is a Cinderella story in each, it would be the NC State teams. So South Carolina and NC State. But in both Final Fours, we have the men's and women's team of NC State and UConn, each in the Final Four.
Could you imagine we get the same matchup on both sides?
Oh my gosh.
That would be kind of fun. Like, just a little bit.
It would definitely... This is probably when, like, the fandom of each team, though, you know, wishes that the Final Four were in the same cities. That would have been crazy, right? Like,
100%.
The fans would have been living the dream that they could go and watch both their men's and women's teams in the championship game.
Whatever.
But nonetheless, it's still interesting that how that worked out. And the fact that it is an NC State team who was not anticipated to be or gone this far on either side, the men's or the women's side, I think is fun, and it's fun to root for. UConn, we're a little used to the success. Obviously, the men's team is, like, they're nasty. Like, it's going to, like, we talked about it yesterday.
Cat 5
Hurricane in order for anyone to bring them down, because they are just overall so good. Where the women's side, I mean, South Carolina has had some close calls beating teams this year. They are still undefeated, but there have been a few that have come close, and teams have gotten close to taking them down. And this NC State team, they're making that run. So I think both games are going to be fireworks. Not as glamorous up front as the UConn-Iowa game, but I still think
maybe
we're going
not
to
from
get
namesake, but yeah. that's about it from game quality sake.
Basketball.
Whoo, man, I can't wait. I also do want to give a shout out to all the teams who did end up falling in the Elite Eight, because they were all really, really gracious in defeat. And that's really hard to do when your season ends so close to what you are dreaming of. Very easily yesterday, LSU could have thrown the refs under the bus towards end of the game. We talked about the Angel Reese charge that, you know, it's a critical call. And even if it's slightly questionable, sometimes you hear players and coaches start to go and lash out. And to their credit, for LSU, for USC, for all of the teams, Oregon State, and all of these teams that ended up falling just short, what class they have. And I'm glad, I just wanted to spotlight that, because I think that that's not talked about enough, especially as everybody starts to focus on the trash talking of LSU a lot of times, or the trash talking of these players. And women are allowed to trash talk too. It doesn't make them these nasty people. It doesn't make anything along those lines. It's really just...
Yeah, kind of like how I trash talk that if we start a media league, Hoy Sports Radio is going to kick everyone's butt.
I'm not trash talking, I'm telling.
Taking a look at the future, just real quick before we go to break, UConn and Iowa. Iowa is the 2.5-point favorite over Paige Beckers and UConn. The Connecticut plus 125 on the money line. South Carolina, just like the UConn game on the men's side, 11.5-point favorite over NC State. NC State plus 550 on the money line. Ooh, that looks like a Kool-Aid sprinkle.
I was going to say, a little sprinkle.
That looks like a Kool-Aid sprinkle on the money line, just for fun, just to see how it feels, because it's...
just want to feel it.
Yeah. Again, South Carolina is nowhere near how dominant UConn has been on the men's side. They've squeaked by where UConn's winning by double digits, like pretty much majority of the season. South Carolina has had their ups and downs. So even, I mean, their defense has been questionable. Like it's been, even Dawn Staley has been honest about like they're not exactly the best.
One thing you can say about Dawn, she's never going to mince words. No. She will give it to you straight. And I love that. Also, I know I'm not like a huge sports and religion person to go. Paige did kind of drop a bar yesterday talking about her adversity, where she was like, I did all I could so God could do all I couldn't. I know I'm about to see that on Instagram under athletes' posts like for the next 3 years. And you know what? As they should, because that is a bar and a half. Like that went hard. And I'm not even like a God doesn't care about sports, guys.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of Geno Smith's like, they wrote me off, but I, what is it?
They wrote me off. I ain't right back.
Yeah,
though.
It was one of those.
But it was one of those, right. It's a bar when you hear it, you're like, oh, dang, man. Okay. Yeah. So, and I don't ever, you know me, I will never shame somebody for what they believe and their religion and whatnot. That's not what I'm doing when I'm like, oh, God doesn't care about sports. But I thought that was a bar and a half. And it was also really, really cool because we talked about it. Paige has been through a lot, multiple ACL tears. She was the number one recruit in the class of 2020 and just feels like Caitlin Clark passed her by. So cool to see her get her flowers now on the national stage as well.
Yeah, they are, let's see, third shortest to win the national championship. South Carolina, no surprise. -200, Iowa 3-1, Connecticut 7-1, and NC State 14-1.
Those feel right.
It does feel right. That's good.
Whatever.
That's why they play the games. I'm looking forward to Friday.
Correct.
Woo! All right, gotta step aside. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Oh, it worked out perfectly. Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Dancing Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Feel free to give us a text at 808-888-KGE1. That's 808-888-5481. If you guys want to chime in on the conversation, talk a little basketball or any sports, we're just in basketball mode right now with between the NCAA tournament, which is going to end this weekend, so sad, and then NBA doesn't get interesting until like another month from now. So there's NCAA tournaments at the end. Oh, but then we have the draft this month. Ooh, draft talk will start next week already. Maybe 2 weeks from now.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
You guys know we got plenty
There's
of
all
stuff
kinds of
coming
stuff.
For you guys.
More, we'll likely see more recruiting news for the basketball teams and a lot to look forward to. But since we only have about like 5 minutes until we have to take our next break and sticking to our women's basketball discussion, I have to go on a little rant.
It's a deserved one.
Actually, I don't even think it's a rant as much as it is. I like to look at it as more of like an educational
PSA
session
maybe.
To, especially because in Sports Talk Radio, and I'm assuming in this show too, we have a lot of male listeners. But actually, before I start my educational series, I'll play for you just because I think the LSU team gets, I still don't understand why. I think it's because last year when more fans started tuning into women's basketball, as they should, it was something that I think fans, like general fans, weren't used to seeing from women and women's sports, with like so much like trash talking, so much confidence that they had when they played, when they did interviews. And it was just, it was like, because they made people feel uncomfortable, they got all of this bad rap against them. And not only after they won, but it just continued throughout the year. So just going to play a couple clips for you in terms of what was said following the LSU-Iowa game. And this is the LSU post-game comments from, first you'll hear from Flau J. Johnson and then Angel Reese.
Let me tell you something. Everybody can have their opinion on Angel Reese, but y'all don't know her.
Put your hand up.
Like, y'all don't know Angel Reese. I know Angel Reese. Dude. I know the real Angel Reese. And the person I see every day is a strong person. Is a caring, loving person, bro. The crown she wears is heavy, bro. She's the type of teammate that's gonna make you believe in yourself. The leap that I took from my freshman to sophomore year, Angel gave me that confidence to go be a dog. Playing next to a dog every day. And, you know, just to see how the media ridicule her, went through our problems, but like, this is my sister right here. And I'm so proud of her. Like, the media, y'all, how they like to twist and call it a villain and all of that, y'all don't know Angel, bro. And I'm just happy that I get to play with her. I get to be around her presence. Her energy is different. Like, she just made me a better player. She made me a better player, and that's what great players do.
And that was LSU's Flau J. Johnson. Now here's what her teammate Angel Reese had to say in that post-game press conference.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore, and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and like not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then, and it sucks. And but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
And that was LSU's Angel Reese. And before that, you heard a little bit from Flau J. Johnson, you know, talking about her teammate in Angel and how she's such a good teammate. And, you know, I wanted to, it really just kind of made me think about the fact that, like, the, and it kind of pains me when they do say the media, because a lot of times it's not the true media that spews a lot of this bad information and the hate. It's kind of like the one-offs in these secondary tier of so-called media that just like to post these things for the clickbait and everything. So that part does pain me. I hope one day we will get to a point where people don't just use that term like, oh, the media, right? Because we genuinely try to portray the truth. And especially here at Hawaii Sports Radio, we want to mostly talk about all positive stuff, right? That's just kind of our thing, our MO. But anyways, that's a sidebar. So it's just, but when, you know, Flau J brought that up, it's so true. Like, they've been like painted as this like horrible team, and their coach, granted, does not do them any favors, but we talked about it yesterday and we will say it again, like the team and the players on LSU, like they, you know, they went through whatever happened in the beginning of the season, but Flau J clearly defends Angel and how good of a teammate she is. And to hear Angel like just be that vulnerable, and it makes you really realize, like, yeah, like she gets way more hate than she ever would have deserved. I mean, death threats just for being a smack talker, just for being a confident woman in yourself. Like,
death threats in general are not okay.
Saying all
like,
these
things. I don't care if you deserve them or not.
Yeah, saying like, all these things about her, and in the age of the internet, right? And like she said, she's only experienced this from when they won the national championship till now. Yes, she says she wouldn't change anything. Obviously, she's making a good living now with the NIL world and everything. But again, it's like she doesn't deserve all of this hate, and everyone just, I get it. Like, it's just not something that people are used to. But because you're not used to it, there's nothing wrong with it. We see it all the time from NBA players, from men's college players, the passion, the grit and the smack talk and the, yeah, yeah. You. I mean, we talk about men's volleyball and Kaylin Thim getting a yellow card just because he's fired up. You know, it's like, and to me, it was because the ref was like, oh my gosh, what is this? So that's kind of what it feels like with this LSU team. They're not used to a team and these women being so confident and at the same time being ballers and being really good basketball players. And the PSA especially is about where she mentions, you know, like, I've never had this experience where I received death threats and have been sexualized. And as I mentioned before, I played the interview where I realized in sports and sports talk radio, especially, there's a lot of male fans. There's a lot of male fans on the internet that do not genuinely understand what a woman means when she says that, because I saw a lot of stuff on the internet and people are bashing her for saying that because they're pulling up. You did the SI swimsuit issue and you do all these posts on social media that, you know, shows off her beautiful body and her being confident in it. That does not mean she's not oblivious of the fact that she's feeling sexy or that maybe people will have their thoughts that they want. She's genuinely talking about trolls and people out there who knows that maybe call her up and like post all these things to say, I'm saying like derogatory things. That's what a woman means, especially someone as confident as Angel mean by being sexualized. It means that people are saying, maybe doing AI stuff of her, you know, that shouldn't be out there, like derogatory things that she has to see on the internet. Like, that's what she means by that. So that's like the PSA to everyone. Tell your friends who might want to say like, oh, well, she just posts herself on social media. That is not what it means when she says that. It means that people are saying things that are, you shouldn't say out loud. You shouldn't say, you shouldn't want to be said to any woman in your life, like really bad things, obviously, that I will not ever give an actual example to on the radio. I can't even like say it out loud because I've been there. It sucks. Like, that's why I feel for Angel, because I'm like, she's only 21 years old. Like, and a lot of these young women, like, they're 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds. And now with NIL, like all of the money, and then you throw in the internet. Like, I've said this before, my high school time when I was getting bullied, I'm so appreciative that the internet did not exist. Well, it did exist, excuse me.
Wasn't as but big.
There was only Facebook. People weren't actively bullying you on the internet platform. If they got your phone number, maybe they'd call you or text. That's as far as it got. But you wouldn't open your screen and want to just see pictures of the people you follow, and then you check your DMs and there's all this like hate, blah, blah, blah. Like, people just spewing all of this stuff. Everyone just saying that what they want to say. So it's like, that's what I feel like I need to make sure everyone understands, who is just looking at LSU and especially Angel Reese as like this villain out there, that, you know, she showed a very vulnerable self following that post game because she wants to stay strong for her teammates and everything. And last thing, people, especially men out there, just because these women go and do SI swimsuit and they take sexy photos, I hate to break it to you, but it's not necessarily for you. It's because women like to genuinely feel good about themselves. Just like when we go out, well, I don't go clubbing anymore, but when we go out to the club, we dress hot for ourselves and to look hotter than the other woman out there. It's not necessarily like, when is the last time you've heard the women get together and be like, oh yeah, let's go to the club to pick up guys? No, it's always the other way around. Like, the guys are like, oh, let's look good so we can pick up chicks. Like, women want to dress up for themselves and for to look better than other women. Sorry, guys, it's not about you. It's about women wanting to feel good about themselves. And that's just, we're different. Men and women are made up differently, but men, women, most of the time are not dressing up for you. Whatever you want to think. We just want to look hot because we want to look hot for ourselves and be able to look ourselves in the mirror and be like, I feel good today.
And that's how it should be. Like, yeah. It really should be that way. It's disappointing that the world continues to devolve into a place where we just don't respect each other anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know when it became taboo, when it became okay for people to message others hate that you don't know. You've never talked to Angel Reese in your life. You have never spoken with her, had a conversation with her, have any idea what she thinks. Why would she care about you and your desires?
Yeah.
We'll say. Why would she care about you? Why would any of these players care about you and your bets? Why would you ever think that you are so self-important that you have the right to reach out to these people? The internet was a mistake for terms of access to other human beings. Unlimited access to other human beings is not, it's just not what we need. It's not what we can handle, clearly. Mm-hmm. And to my fellow men, just take a second. And it shouldn't take this, but I will say this. If it's still really hard for you to get through your head, go put the exact same situation and replace it with your mother, your sister, your grandmother, your best friend, whoever.
Honestly,
the closest woman in
your life. Honestly,
I think
there's men out there that wouldn't even care. That's disgusting.
And if that's so, let's go to break.
Yeah. On that note, that's your PSA. Again, I just wanted to educate all the, especially the male listeners out there, that because I've seen it so often, especially that one thing that Angel said about being, you know, sexualized. I'm like, it doesn't mean that she's not allowed to post pictures and do photo shoots that make her feel good about herself. It means that people need to stop with the horrible and derogatory things that come along with it, because that's just not what it's about. So be better. Mind your business. That's what Joey Swole always says, if you guys follow him on social media. Anyways,
shout out Joey Swole.
Let's go to break. We'll be back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Dancing Den. Kuule Agbayani and Paul Brecht.
Cool enough.
It's a good song.
Great song. You always have these bangers lined up for our bump music.
Sometimes I don't even, like, I just kind of pick and choose, and I'm like, that's a good song to get us back from our segment.
Yep. That's all it takes.
All right. So what else is going on in the world of sports? We only have, like, a few more minutes, so I'm like, I don't want to get, like, too deep into anything now that kind of talked a lot about the basketball tournament, women's basketball tournament.
Well,
when we did our little PSA rant, and now we just got a few more minutes. So let, you know, Sierra Tango Sierra.
Well, one, the New York Yankees are 5-0, Kuule.
Dang it. Why did I do that, you guys? Why did I suggest that Paul gets to talk about
winning? To the World Series. We might go 162-0. We're probably never going to lose a game again. No, totally kidding. In case you guys missed it yesterday, Hawaii men's basketball got a commitment from 6'10" Utah Tech center, Tanner Christensen. A real nice shot blocker in the middle, and a key addition for Hawaii men's basketball as they start to recruit a lot of new players, losing 7 off of last year's team, at least 7 that we know of right now. I haven't heard any rumors of anyone else wanting to transfer quite yet, but mm-hmm. You know, who knows, because the transfer portal is giveth and taketh away.
Yep.
But giveth yesterday to the Bows, no April Fool's Day joke there, because Christensen's a good shot blocker. He'd blocked more shots last season than any player in the last decade for the Bows. He had 48 blocks in a single season. I went back and I checked the stats for every single season under Aron Gannat. There's never been a player since Gannat took over with 48 blocks for
okay.
the Bows.
Okay.
Highest was 40 back in 2015-16 when Gannat first took over. So this is a legitimate shot blocking presence in the middle. We have a YouTube short up on our channel where you can see some of the highlights while I give you a little bit of information. Shout out to our Michael Lascaro, who got that up late last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also tweet that out off my own personal later. It's the start of what will be many, many additions to this Bows roster, and they're not the only ones who are trying to add on. HPU, also a team who's trying to add on currently. They lose Tyrese Terrell to graduation, Ethan Tafe into the transfer portal, along with another player whose name is escaping me right now. And in general, they have some spots to fill as well. I've heard that they've been in contact with Ross Reeves, the Chaminade transfer. Mm-hmm. He is somebody who is a hot commodity. He's heard from over 60 schools, he told me over the weekend, and that number keeps on going up. So HPU, cool. One of those schools trying for the services of Mr. Ross Reeves. UC San Diego, also one of those schools that reached out to Reeves.
Boo. Actually, and will they be eligible next season?
Yes, they will.
Oh, my goodness.
Their marathon is finally over.
Which is so crazy to say. All right, coming up, you guys, later tonight we will have, well, first up will be Mariners baseball versus the Cleveland Guardians, followed by HPU baseball and the University of Hawaii at Manoa. HPU coming off of a sweep at Biola, so they're continuing their 5-game win streak. Obviously, UH coming off of their reverse sweep or their loss to number 20th ranked UC Irvine. So that game, 6:35 p.m. will jump on air about 10 minutes prior to game time. So be sure you guys tune in. But we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Ku'ule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye!